This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag.
Hello, it's Love Sport Radio and me, Matt Beadle, with you for another hour this evening on our Friday night fan show special. And next up, as you can probably tell from the music, it is the Brighton and Hove Albion fan show. The Seagulls host Leicester City this weekend. Leicester starting the season in absolutely flying fashion in the Premier League, currently sitting second, 8 points adrift of Liverpool, but with their best ever start to a Premier League season. Of course, the last time they did that, they went and won it in the 2015-16 season. Brendan Rodgers seemingly working wonders over there at the King Power, but so too is Graham Potter at the Amex, of course, doing a sterling job at Brighton as well. As things stand, Brighton sitting in 11th in the Premier League. It has been an international break. We've been longing for club football to return, and so too has Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Josh, great to have you back on the line. Great to have Premier League football back.
Yeah, thank goodness. And they come thick and fast now until the new year, which is the best time of year for me because I love it.
Yeah, it's a really special time, isn't it, in the football calendar. Some people go, oh God, there's just too many games on. But I love it. I love all the football that goes on from now until, you know, the end of the season pretty much. Because November, December, you just get that feeling of, you know, the darkness setting in at like 4:30, 5:00. By the time you've left the ground, it's pitch black. Then you've got another game in midweek, and then you don't know what kind of day it is when it gets to Christmas. Brilliant. Just football everywhere, all over the TV. Everywhere you go, there's football, and I think we've earned it. You know, we've had the two-week break that seems like an eternity. It seems like we've been away forever, but Brighton coming back, and actually, I'm not going to call it a baptism of fire, but a very tricky fixture against a very good Leicester City side.
Yeah, for sure, and I totally agree with you. I love it. I love it when Christmas comes around and we get this December, January of just games and games and games, and then, of course, you get the FA Cup back as well, so I love that tournament as well, so I'm here for it. I'm very excited about what's going to come up, and I think you are right, though. If you look at it a little bit more long-term, it is a baptism of fire going into the Christmas period, because, of course, we have this game, and then we have Liverpool and Arsenal right after, so it's brutal for Brighton before the Christmas period, but this is probably the one you'd want to start with, the one where we may get a point or two, as opposed to, you know, going to Anfield next week where there's very little chance.
Yeah, won your last three at home as well. So the momentum going into the game, of course, Amex, a very, very good fortress for Brighton this season, pretty much since the ground was created, really. But we know that Leicester are strong. We know that there are injury concerns as well. What's the latest on Adam Webster and Leandro Trossard?
Yeah, so Trossard is actually good to go. He pulled out of the Belgium squad, and I think every Albion fan listening and every Albion fan who heard the news just like rolled their eyes and couldn't believe that it was happening again. Because, of course, the first time he went off to Belgium, he was out for 4 weeks after it. So we were all very worried, but it turns out it was just a rolled ankle and a precautionary dropout, and he is fully fit and ready to go. He's trained all week, so he is good to go. Webster was supposed to be out until closer to the Wolves game, which is, you know, 4 games away, but apparently he is also trained all week. So I'm not sure what kind of miracle grow that's been given him, but it looks like we may well have both back to go.
Elsewhere, Aaron Connolly hasn't been able to overcome a problem, and Lewis Dunk is also out. So I'm not going to call it threadbare, but it's not the strongest squad you want to be putting out there against one of the stronger teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the inherent problem of Potter wanting a slightly smaller squad that he works with, and obviously coming in trying to do a lot of work on what he currently had before he decides to buy anybody in either January or the summer. When we have two or three people go down, the depth is not as great as a lot of other teams. But luckily, Donkey's only out for one with the 5 yellow card suspension piece. And Connolly, he apparently was just a small thing he felt with his groin, and he's had 2 weeks now, and Potter seems to think that he will be ready for the next one. So hopefully it's not too long. We do have a couple of options with Trossard coming back. It's a big relief to at least have him fit and ready to go.
In terms of the fixtures that you mentioned there, Josh, of course, it is Leicester at home this weekend. You then travel to Liverpool and Arsenal. Realistically, what would you be happy with over the course of those three fixtures in terms of points-wise?
1 point would do me great, honestly.
Really? That's what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, even from these last four, Manchester United away, Leicester at home, Liverpool away, Arsenal away. I'm hoping we might sneak a draw tomorrow, and then for Liverpool, it's just about keeping the goal difference respectable. I think they are just so good. And then Arsenal, of course, you never know which Arsenal are going to turn up. On a good day, we might take something, but realistically, they're still a top six team and away from home. I'm still not really in the mindset of thinking anything other than a defeat.
It's funny, isn't it, as well, because we often have stats on this show, and actually this particular season we've alluded to, I can't remember how many times over the course of the past month or so, but there's an opportunity here, one, for Brighton to win four top flight home games in a row for the first time ever in the club's history, but there's also the chance for them to win more than four of their opening 13 top flight fixtures in a season for only the second time in the club's history. And the last time you did that, 82-83. Yet again, that season crops up. Of course, it was a season that you eventually went down, but it's amazing that actually, I never knew that. You won four of your opening top flight fixtures, or more than four of your opening top flight fixtures that season. Only the second time, if you can manage a victory over Leicester, will you be able to do that?
Yeah, that's wild. I had no idea either. Obviously, I knew that season started off incredibly well because we ended up getting to the final and going down late on. But yeah, I didn't realise that. That is one season that just doesn't seem to go away. Hopefully we can end up a bit better if we do manage to match it to this weekend.
The great thing as well about this current Brighton squad is that you're sharing out the goals. And I don't know whether we talked about this last week, but the last eight league goals for Brighton have all been scored by eight different players. One of them, granted, was an own goal by Lucas Digne of Everton. But sometimes you want that prolific goal scorer. Absolutely you do. You want Mopay to be weighing in with 20, 25 goals a season. But when you've got goals being spread out everywhere, sometimes that's a hindrance for other teams who rely solely on that star striker. With Brighton, the goals are coming from all over the pitch.
Yeah, it's such a far cry from last season too. We were in the exact opposite situation, like you were just saying. We felt like we had enough to stay up because Glenn Murray was going to get 15 goals. But as he's got older, people have all said, it's only so long you can keep banging them in. Where are the other goals going to come from? And it turns out everywhere now. We've got the opposite problem. A lot of players are being able to pitch in as and where they can. And it's a big relief because when those players do go down, when we do lose Trossard, when we do lose Connolly, we clearly have people who are ready to be the next man up and step up and get those goals for us. So it is a relief this year that we seem to have a lot of different options that are able to hit the back of the net, as opposed to last year when it was just Glenn or bust.
Yeah, and speaking of eight as well, those eight different players for Leicester, despite the fact that Harry Maguire moved on to Manchester United for £80 million in the summer, they have the division's best defensive record this season in the Premier League. They've conceded just eight goals. So, listen, it's going to be a hard task regardless for Brighton. That Leicester back line with Soyuncu, with Johnny Evans there, with Kasper Schmeichel. You've got Pereira on the right, Ricardo. You've got Ben Chilwell on the left. They're looking so strong, in particular in defence. And when you consider the fact that Maguire left the club in the summer, it's an even better job that Brendan Rodgers has done.
Yeah, they have done. Brendan has always done a great job. I'm a big fan of Brendan Rodgers, and he is just a monster. I didn't think he would turn him around this fast. I knew he would do well, of course. I feel like he does well wherever he goes. But I didn't expect him to turn him around as fast as he has. And I mean, they've only lost two games all season, I think it is. And both of them were away from home, but they were Manchester United and Liverpool. This is a team that is unbeaten at home and has only lost to some of the very best away. So I think we need to keep our expectations down on this one, despite how good we are at home, because Brendan Rodgers is a very good manager. His ability to kind of read a game as it's being played and make those changes to win it is really up there with the elite. So I think it's going to be a good test for Potter this week, that's for sure.
Yeah, intriguing contest, that Potter v Brendan Rodgers. This is the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport. Next up, we're going to get an opposition view on Leicester City.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Indeed it is, the opposition view on Love Sport on this, the Brighton and Hove Albion Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. We have got Josh Goldsmith on one line, and on the other now we have brought in Leicester fan Jamie Thorpe from the First for LCFC podcast. Jamie, it's great to have you on the line. Leicester with their best ever start to a season ever in the club's history. Brighton have won their last three at the Amex. Are you going to, I'm not going to say cause an upset, but are you going to disrupt that momentum?
Evening, guys. Yeah, it's definitely two form sides going into the game. And it's one that I'm actually really nervous about, believe it or not. I think we've head into the last few games with sort of that momentum carrying us forward, but no real expectation. We've played a lot of the sort of top six sides, and even though we're playing well, you were never really expected to win. But this on paper seems a very even game. It's one in previous years that we definitely would have lost, and the way Brighton are playing at home, it's making me rather nervous, but looking forward to the game.
What do you make of that one, Josh? Jamie's nervous about the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear it, honestly, with the way they're playing. You know, they've just stuffed Arsenal 2-0 at their own place, and I think they've scored, what, like 11 goals in their last two away games in the Premier League. I'm terrified that their counter-attack and Vardy putting four past us at times.
I think that is largely what is making me nervous. I think it's the fact that we are playing well. Things do seem to be going pretty well for us in terms of the play. And as a Leicester fan, despite what's happened recently, I'm naturally quite pessimistic, because it does tend to be the games where we are almost expected to get a good result where things do go negatively. So it'll be an intriguing game, definitely. I think the way that Brighton play very sort of solid against a set piece, which is something that we've had a lot of joy from this season. And I think the two teams could cancel each other out quite well.
In terms of that defensive record, we mentioned it before the ads, Jamie, and it's 8 goals just this season. Harry Maguire left in the summer. Many thought there might be a gaping hole in Leicester's defence. Soyuncu has obviously come in and worked wonders, bagged his first goal a couple of weeks ago against Crystal Palace. What can you see potentially causing them a problem up top for Brighton? Aaron Connolly is out. He has got a groin injury, so he's not going to be playing. Obviously, Neil Maupay up there, we know that he can score goals. But what is it that's been able to break down Leicester with those 8 goals so far this season?
That's a tough question, actually, because in Evans and Soyuncu, they've got players that can sort of handle both. They're physical players. Soyuncu is very quick, and Evans reads the game very well. So they do tend to, when they're settled, they can sort of repel anything. It's broken play is where we've struggled. If struggled is the right word, like you said, it's only been eight goals that we've conceded, so I can't really complain.
But and a couple of those penalties as well, I think, of the United and the Liverpool game.
Exactly. But it does tend to be the more free-flowing, direct style of play that would cause us an issue. Both our fullbacks tend to push forward in Pereira and Chilwell, and that can leave the likes of Evans and Soyuncu exposed. And I think there'll be joy on the counter-attack, mostly for Brighton, I thought.
Do you think that feeds into you, Josh? Do you think that's something that you can exploit? And if you can see yourself exploiting Leicester, where do you think exactly it will be that Graham Potter has identified where Brighton can maybe catch, like Jamie said there, on the counter when the two fullbacks push forward?
Yeah, I think that might well be it. We did it pretty well against Everton, which ended up being a really open game, and that's kind of what I'm worried about this time, because I think Leicester are significantly better than Everton. But I think you're going to see something quite similar. I think you'll see Brighton probably have more of the ball, But you'll see a lot of counter-attacks on both sides. I think there'll be a lot of build-up, and you'll have that ball flying down the wing somewhere with people being left out of position. And it's going to be interesting to see how Albion line up tomorrow, because the 4-4-2 that we went with against Manchester United just decimated us on a counter-attack. So I'm curious as to whether he'll go back to the three at the back, which I hope he does, because we seem to be a lot better against that kind of counter-attacking play that Leicester and Vardy and the people playing next to him are so good at. So I'm hoping that we adjust. Otherwise, it could end up being another 3 or 4-2 game. I'm just not sure he'll go our way this time.
Jamie, I have to touch on your season so far, and I know we briefly mentioned it at the top and the fact that it is your greatest ever start to a Premier League season. Has any part of you been surprised by just how good Leicester have been so far this season?
Yeah, definitely, in that we're currently sat second and, you know, we've had a good portion of the season. Rodgers changed things very quickly, and the momentum that we garnered towards the end of the season was great, and you could see the changes that he'd implemented. But even so, to be doing as well as we are at this stage is great. I mean, whilst the players, I think the big thing is that the players deserved it. It's not like we sort of fluked through games. We've gone out and properly beaten sides. I mean, obviously the Southampton game was a one-off, but that was the mark. You did sense that we had it in us to really put a team to the sword. The way that he's got Maddison, Tielemans and Ndidi firing in the middle is particularly important. That's where our games are won and lost. If we can get those two former players on the ball and in space, then we tend to do well, because they are the players that make the team tick. And the way that Rodgers has utilised them has been very, very clever. Some teams have wised up to it sometimes this season and it's made for a trickier game. Some teams haven't, and we've gone on to win fairly convincingly. So I think that's where the game will be won and lost.
And the stat that keeps coming out as well, it seems to be happening every week because he keeps scoring goals. It's 4 games in a row now for Jamie Vardy. 20 goals in 22 Premier League appearances under Brendan Rodgers. Since Rodgers took charge of his first match at Leicester in March, no other player in the Premier League has scored more than 15 Premier League goals. I mean, it's just a staggering response that Vardy has given Rodgers, and probably the response that most of us kind of knew was there anyway. It was just one that we were calling out for Claude Puel to adopt. He didn't seem to want to. Rodgers came in. I almost feel like it wasn't anything special. It was a bit of a no-brainer. It was like, all right, we'll place your strengths. There you go. Done.
Yeah, definitely. It was Puel's treatment of Vardy was his biggest mistake. Leicester are going to need to replace Vardy at some point. That much is obvious, but Puel tried to do it far too early. Vardy's still, he's probably at the peak of his powers. I'd say, if anything, he seems to be getting better somehow. And it's like you said, the change under Rodgers, Vardy has been the main recipient of it. He's not particularly involved in games. He only averages about 20-odd touches a game. But every one seems to be crucial. He's either linking up the play or scoring a goal. So he's having one of those seasons at the moment. He's really got the Midas touch. I mean, I can't see it continuing for an entire season. I don't think we're necessarily the level of a team that can continue to play this sort of brand of attacking football and profit from it across every game in a season. But, I mean, long may it continue. For now, obviously, we certainly hope so. But he's been the fulcrum of everything. Our main issue will come if Vardy gets injured or suspended, personally thinking. But for now, he's the man that tags it all together. He's the talisman. He's a club legend. And Rodgers has noticed that and sort of identified that and played to his strength.
Yeah, Jamie, it's been great having you on. Just before you go, a quick score prediction, if you will.
Well, I might as well be optimistic, even though it's probably the wrong show for it. I will give you a Leicester 2-0 win with Vardy bagging both.
There we go. He's on for that record again, isn't he? Was it 10 Premier League games in a row? I think he equaled Ruud van Nistelrooy, so he'll get halfway through that. Jamie, thanks very much for joining us, boss.
Thanks for having me on.
That was Jamie Thorpe of the First Four LCFC podcast. Go give it a look. Very good stuff there from Jamie. And Josh, he reckons 2-0. What say you?
God, I worry that it'll be the same. But I'm going to go with a 1-1. A 1-1 draw.
A 1-1 draw. I mean, that's, I guess, well, the thing is, that's your 1 point, isn't it? Because if you're saying you're just going to get 1 point out of the next three fixtures, you're going with this one and then you're going to have to succumb. I'm not going to need to ask you the question if you're saying it for the next two games. So you reckon two defeats in the next two games and just the 1-1 on this?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm going for. it's the Liverpool game is more of a, I don't know how high it will be, but Yeah, that's going to be my prediction for it. I think we need to try and get a point from this one, from this four group of games that are so tough. I think this is the one that's the most realistic to take something from.
On the other note here, Josh, you could well be the final nail in Unai Emery's coffin at Arsenal. You just never know.
I know, and there is that temptation, isn't there? Because I know we've kind of hammered a nail into Pochettino a couple of weeks ago, and we hammered the nail into a couple of other team managers last year. So we seem to have a bit of a trend for hammering teams when their managers are in trouble. So if there is any reason to be cheerful, it is that we do seem to have that ability against those kind of teams, whether it's under Hughton or Potter. So you never know. But being realistic, I think it's probably going to be a defeat.
Great. Josh, it's been top stuff having you on for another week. No doubt we'll speak to you next Friday to have all that reaction to the game tomorrow against Leicester and the build-up, of course, to the big one, travelling to Liverpool next week. Thanks for coming on, boss.
Thank you.
That was Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Brighton hosting Leicester tomorrow and the Seagulls winless in the four Premier League matches that the two teams have contested thus far. Interesting to see what happens there. He reckons 1-1. Jamie Thorpe of the First Four LCFC podcast, he reckons 2-0 to the Foxes as they continue their bid to challenge maybe Liverpool in this Premier League title race. This is the Brighton Hove Albion fan show on Love Sport. Next up, El Clasico.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.